Welcome back to the Media Shop. I'm Courtney and I'll be your host. Today I'm here with Taylor, Kara, and Lauren. If you've been following the Media Shop these past couple of weeks, you know that we've been covering media in terms of how it has shaped our communication over time. We've each written a little bit about how media has shaped our lives and our own personal effects with it. And first we're going to talk about Taylor's article. She wrote about peer-to-peer interaction. So we're going to let her tell you a little bit about that.
So I think that everybody can relate to this, how much that communication over the years has changed drastically. So the first thing we seen really was the use of email and how it went from having to send letters, sit down, write it out, and send it and wait a few days for them to get it. And now, you know, it'll take a matter of minutes to be able to write something and send it and have them receive it. Everything almost about communication since then has been changing. We've seen chat rooms at the beginning, and now we're seeing more things like Facebook Messenger or Snapchat is a big one now that's been used. And not only that, but the lingo that we use. A lot of abbreviations, jargon. So I know that you guys can relate to this just because it's like an everyday thing for us. We're constantly in communication with other people, being able to get a hold of people whenever we need to. And in the past, that just wasn't something that we could do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm constantly in like conversations with my friends on my phone, and I say I hate texting. Like, I literally hate texting, but I do it anyway. And I don't know, you just feel like you have to.
Yeah, I think it's crazy, like, the way technology has completely changed that communication and, like, looking, like you were saying, like, if you wanted to reach someone who's, like, a long distance away, like, there were only two ways to communicate with people. You either write that letter or, like, they're right there in the room and you can just, like, talk with them. And having, like, everything that technology has done, making it so you can keep those friendships alive with people who are, you know, living on the other side of the world, like, that is definitely crazy what communication and like technology and that effect on communication has had.
Right, and I think they've changed friendships too, and even relationships. Like a long time ago, or not even that long ago, one husband would go off to work and the wife would be at home and you wouldn't hear from them all day because you couldn't text, you couldn't call. So you would have no interaction throughout the day. And now in relationships, if you're not texting every 5 minutes, your friends or your boyfriend or girlfriend, like everyone thinks there's something wrong with your relationship.
True. Yeah. And in terms of like relationships, there's so many different ways of like starting a relationship. Before, you would have to meet them and then like go on dates. And now like dates are kind of a thing of the past. Like no one actually dates. They like
Netflix and chill.
Yeah. But honestly, like you meet them online and then there's like, I don't know. It's just a crazy concept to think about. Going off of that, I was going to kind of talk about self-actualization, and that's the article that I wrote about. It's titled Social Media and Growing Up With It, or something along the lines of that. I kind of talked about how, like, social media and technology is just a way that, like, people are getting self-gratification. Like, so many people need this technology, and before, like, we talked about how we didn't have anything like that. It would take days for people to communicate with each other. And now, like, you need your friends 24/7 to be like, you're awesome and you're great, and sending you texts and commenting on your pictures. And people get upset when they don't get these things. And I wrote a little bit about how, like, I'm 21 years old, so I semi grew up on the internet. I don't know how to, like, explain it, but the kids now, like, they throw them an iPad and that's how, like, they grow up. Like, yeah. They're literally growing up on the internet. Their moms post pictures of them. I'm friends with a child on Facebook. Like, her mom has an entire account for her child. So, like, So, like, that child is literally growing up on the internet, and she cannot be the only one. I don't know. I have an Instagram account for my dog. So, like, my dog is even growing up on the internet. So, just, like, the things in terms of that, social media and technology has literally changed every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, it's getting into that, like, communication is becoming a way to find your self-identity, and not only your identity, but then your worth. It's how people will measure their worth, and that's something that definitely has the pros and cons. Like we said, like, using that social media, it's great that, I mean, it's amazing that we have, like, kids and dogs, and, like, everything they're doing is, like, on the internet, and there's that chance to see that and that possibility of connection. But then when people look at that connection and then equate it to, because of this, this is how much I am worth, like, in this world, then I feel like that's where there's some drawbacks about that. And it's not necessarily the drawbacks of having the constant communication, but I like you talked, I think you talked, someone talked in their thing about, like, with social media, how they have the comments and the likes and how that's, like, an addict, like, they, platforms create that to get people addicted to needing that proof that they are not only, like, loved and getting the encouragement, but just, like, getting that, like, that self-worth. And I think that's very an interesting complex with growing up on the internet.
I think that's a big problem, because I think a few weeks ago somebody wrote an article over how much is too much.
Yeah.
And I think that's a prime example, because if it's taking away someone's happiness just because they didn't get enough likes on Facebook or Instagram, that's a big problem that we're having.
Well, I think sometimes too much can be worse than not enough. Like, if you'll see celebrities with on their Instagrams or something, if they're going through, like, a breakup or something, they'll take comments, like, off of there. They'll, like, make it so you can't post comments on their pictures because, like, they don't want to see that, because that's just as harmful as not getting enough comments.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. Too. And I don't know if you saw in the last article I wrote, but there was a quote that said, like, so essentially social media platforms have the like button and the retweet button and all of the other things that you can do on it. So it's like a reward. So people are literally addicted to the reward of, like, getting that like. It's seriously like a present. You're like, oh, well, my friend liked this tweet. And if you don't get any, it turns into, like, your sense of self-worth. Like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, you think of a really funny tweet and you're like, okay, and you tweet it and no one retweets it and you're like, okay, whatever, that's fine, I think I'm really funny, but no big deal.
Well, then you have to be on there checking it all the time to see how many likes you got, and then you have to be liking everyone else's posts, because if you don't like theirs, they're not going to like yours, and it's just a whole vicious cycle of acceptance.
See, I feel like we can all, like, relate to this a little bit, because, like, none of us actually grew up on the internet, but at the same time, like, it's still a huge part of our lives, and we understand, like, not the younger generation, because we're, like, right on the brink of, like, the two generations.
The
so
in-betweens.
Yeah, yeah, we're the in-betweeners. So, like, we understand, but at the same time, we're also guilty of the things that we've been doing. Because, I mean, I know I check my Instagram likes and all of these things. Like, I care about who likes my posts. And that's, like, a weird concept. Like, you don't want to tell yourself that you care about those things, but at the same time, you do kind of care about those things.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then also in my article, I talked about how social media, like, it determines your self-worth in terms of how you look. So it's even off of your, it doesn't even determine just, like, your inner self-worth, but, like, also your outer self-worth. And, like, I talked about a couple apps that, like, I know of and that most of my friends use. Like, people literally get on these apps, like, Facetune and Airbrush, and they get on there and they, like, change the, like, entire face of their body. They can make themselves literally, like, skinny or, like, put more makeup on and whatever they do, and then, like, they feel like that's what they have to do to post a picture. Like, nothing is real, if that makes sense.
And I think I think that can also tie into another article that we have written kind of in this expose, article about advertisement. And I know Colin kind of in this article just went through the different stages of advertising and how it changed. He was really talking about in the 60s what advertising has been trying to do is, this is what the cool people are doing, this is what you have to do to be in the in crowd, like, in society. And so, and I think that's, like, relating that back to body image. Body image has become a big part of, like, who you want to be. Like, buy this product because the people who buy this product fit the generic, this is the cool thing to look like image. And I think so, like, that's, like, looking back at, like, that technology just makes it more and more available to not only spread the idea that there's a certain body image that is the quote-unquote best body image, but that technology is the thing that allows people to change what they look like in a digital format.
Yeah, well, the best part about social media for a lot of people is that you're only portraying the good parts of your life and the parts that make you seem cool and the parts that you want your friends to see. So you're not going to post a picture of you going to class one day. You're going to wait till you go out on Friday night, and you're going to post that as your picture, and you're only going to post those pictures so everyone online thinks that you're hot and cool and fun.
True. And that ties back into your romantic relationships, too, because you meet these people online, and I don't know, we don't really need to talk about catfishing right now, but at the same time, like, you have an entire persona online that's totally different than what you're actually like in real life. So I don't know, it's very interesting.
And you said something about how, you know, you're only gonna post the cute pictures and people are always changing the way they look, but that's, you know, that's not really you. And then other people see that, and that almost like lowers their self-esteem, like looking at other pictures and being like, wow, I wish I looked like that, I wish I had friends I could go out with every Friday night. But exactly what you said, you know, you're not going to post your everyday boring life. Mm-hmm. You're going to be posting the exciting events that are going on.
Yeah, it's just like that vicious cycle. It's crazy. And look, yeah, I think that's like an interesting, you're talking like, you don't post the boring stuff, you post the exciting things. And I feel like even like with entertainment and media and like drawing like all this media in, what's the stuff that's talked about? It's the stuff that is quote unquote exciting. And I feel like that just like adds this idea that people are like, well, I need to be doing stuff that's exciting, that's cool, that's different. And it almost can like take value out of the quote unquote boring everyday life. But that's the place that we are living. And that's the place that sometimes, you know, those best memories are made, in the boring moments. And that's a bit of a tangent off from the communications, but
I was gonna say, I don't know about you guys, but my favorite accounts are always the ones that seem more like real and relatable, and the people that like I could see myself like hanging out with, you know what I mean? Like those influencers online, if they're not real, I don't really have an interest in following them because they're just trying to sell you something. But like, yeah. This is like an entirely different topic, but like Finstagrams, I don't have a Finstagram, but I've noticed a lot of people are using them more as like a journal, and mm-hmm. they just like, it's like a second fake account where like they are being themselves.
No, someone explained this to me this weekend because they were telling me, they were like, oh, I have three Instagram accounts. They're like, I have this one, and then I have my Finsta. And yeah. I was like, what is a Finsta? And she literally, like, it's on private and she will only accept like her like closest friend, uh-huh. but it's literally just like all the shit she wouldn't put on her real Instagram. Like,
exactly.
It's just her weird everyday stuff.
It's like the only stuff that you want to share with your friends and you don't care about, like.
But like, why do you need to put it on
right?
Instagram?
I don't. I literally don't know. I mean, that kind of goes back into like advertising and self-branding. And like, I know people are branding their own social medias and like trying to be the specific person, not only for future employers, but at the same time, like, they're trying to pretend to be something that they're not for just the everyday people around them.
Yeah.
And going back kind of to what you said with the body image, I know a few years ago it was all about, like, the girls that are so skinny, they look unhealthy. And then, I don't know, a year or two ago, they started that Dove movement. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's either one extreme or the other. Where's the middle ground? Why can't we have, like, a normal, healthy?
Yeah, why can't we be normal?
Yeah.
I understand what you mean, because they're, like, kind of, like, I don't want to say they're empowering, like, women and men, too, with, like, obesity. But, like, there's not, like, a self, I don't know, where, like, the normal people, is that where you're getting at? So, like, you're either too skinny or...
Why yeah. can't there be, like, just the normal, healthy individuals
exactly.
that we see every day? Like, why yeah. does it have to be one extreme?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Courtney, I know you didn't want to say it, but, like, uh-huh. you do have a point, like, we're glorifying obesity half the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. People are either, like, too friendly or too mean. I don't know. I just glorify the people who snack yeah. a little too often, but, like, at the same time care about being physically fit. I don't know. But at the time, like, we can talk about a little bit of the HR and the soft skills.
Yeah.
And you read about that, right, Kara?
Yeah. So, like, communications, moving from more of, like, the personal stuff that's been going on, how communications in, like, the technology has changed communications in the business side of our world, which is, you know, the other half of all the craziness that happens in life. But looking especially kind of like at HR, we've already mentioned branding and the personal branding that people do, not only to their personal social media accounts, but like they feel they have to do that to like as you get older, like to even get a job, because going through and looking at some of like the stuff that HR like methods they've done, like people who are hiring are going to go through like with a fine-tooth comb everything that has your internet presence online. You are going to get completely evaluated by like what you put like on your social media. But then also just looking at like more some of like the general stuff that technology has changed, how like you like if you want to do an interview with an HR person, like you can like Skype in now. Like you don't have to go to the actual place. And technology has made it so that businesses, even like smaller businesses, have the possibility where they can have like 50 employees, but only 5 working at an like a home base office building, and everyone else just like working at home or something. So like technology has like completely expanded the way that businesses do business, but like especially in that HR, I think it definitely goes back to that branding, because not only are HR people going to be looking for your brand, but HR people are concerned about continuing the brand that a company has. And the same thing with PR. PR is about putting forth that brand, and like the Dove campaign, like that is a PR brand showing like we accept everyone. That can be taken differently, as we've seen. But so much of business, because we're on this technology and because we have so many connections to different people, it's not just people who have to worry about what they're doing. It's businesses that need to pay close attention to what are we setting forth as our public standards.
And not only that, but think about how much time and money can be saved because of the technology we have for those companies. Oh, you were saying how, you know, not everybody is now going to have to work in the office. They can work from home and get just as much done because of the technology they're using.
Yeah. I was going to say, not without like looking at it, is the fact of like soft skills. So employers are really starting to look at people who are able to have a conversation face to face, because these things are starting to drift away. Like people don't really care about how to have a face-to-face conversation. I know so many people who can't even have a phone call anymore, like a professional phone call. They'll like ignore the phone call and send them a text, and I'm guilty of that like a lot of the times. And it's not just because I'm not able to have a conversation, but just because it's like not necessary. And I think employers are really starting to look for people who will accept phone calls, and like if you're going to have to Skype into them, you're able to have a conversation with them via Skype. You're not just going to sit there and be all like shelled up and rather send them a message.
Yeah. Right.
Well, so many people are like that nowadays. Like I know I'll be with my friends and someone will be like, call and make a reservation for dinner, or like call and see like if a store has this, and they won't do it. They'll like make me do it.
Yeah, I know my little brother's like that. I mean, my brother's 18 and he will hardly walk up to somebody like in a restaurant and be able to have a conversation with them. Like no one knows where to like the starting like conversation is. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Say hi.
That's interesting that you say that, because in my article I covered the generation gaps and how before you know, everybody was using phones, just calling. And then with all the cell phones and the internet, then they started getting into texting. And now we see that gap where the older generations want to call and talk to you, whereas people our age are more willing to send a text. Like, I know I'm guilty like you are. Yeah. I'll ignore calls and then just send them a text back. Like, sorry.
Seriously.
Give them an excuse.
And even, like, the thought of a voicemail. Like, I don't need voicemails ever. Like if you leave a voicemail, you are a bold human being, just because I'm like, who seriously like sits there and like leaves it? I don't know. Or even yeah. Like, well, does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
I don't leave voicemails.
Me either. Or I don't even have like, so I was actually just talking about this the other day, like people who have like home phones would like have the voice message at the end and like you leave your thing. I don't have a voice message at the end of my phone call. So like,
I can't figure out how to set one up.
I'm too embarrassed to do it, because I'm like, I don't want people to hear my voice. And thinking of that in a professional standpoint is like, my boyfriend brought up a really good topic. Do you guys remember those stupid, like, so they would call and then they wouldn't answer and they'd be like, hello. Hello, like that was his like voicemail.
Oh, I had one of those.
Yeah, and everybody would talk to it. And so like he told me, he's like, no, I seriously had to change it, because if a future employer were to call me, then they would be like, that's not professional. Like, this kid literally is just like, hello, hello. And they're like, yeah, yeah. So, like, that's just another, like, thing on top of it is, like, professionalism and, like, all of these things that you don't think about anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, like, we can kind of jump into our topic of PR and what we talked about in our Slack chat this week and how PR has changed on every little thing. And I know, Lauren, you brought up the topic of Kylie Jenner, like, in her PR, like, all of these influencers don't realize the type of influence they have on their brands and the people around them. So, Taylor, you hosted that, so I'm going to let you talk a little bit about what we did, or Kara, or somebody who can explain it.
So, we were just talking about PR and the communication and how that has changed with technology. Just like everything else has, we see how they're using social media to make things easier, to be able to communicate easier, and save time too.
Yeah, and like the, I think the biggest thing with PR, like, what was it, like, the first, like, the reason PR began to exist, it was like back in like the early 1900s, and looking at, like, you had a big corporation. I think it was actually, like, the railroad company. You had a big corporation. They were handling a situation in kind of, like, a crappy way. And you there was this guy who was like, let me fix this for you. Let me show you how to respond in a crisis. And that's what PR was initially for. It was this idea of, here's how to respond in a crisis if something happens in your company. But nowadays, like, with the Dove campaign, like, that's a PR move, but it's not like they were covering up a crisis. It's not like Dove was about to sink because they did something unthinkably horrible. PR has become basically just another avenue of advertising. And, like, just, like, tying that in with, like, the technology and the communications, so many people, instead of just being like, oh, this company did this, but they reacted well, kind of like with the Tylenol stuff, there was the poison and Tylenol, like, complete, like, they handled the situation very professionally. That was response to a crisis. But now people look at companies and they expect to know everything about that company and how it's run, what their policies are on race and gender, their policy on, you know, green environment issues, and how they're implicating those in their everyday business. People want to know that.
I think that's interesting, the fact that, like, everybody feels they have the right to know these things. Like, even, like, your political opinions, like, everyone feels like they have the right to know what company stands for what, whenever it doesn't even relate to that, honestly. So, yeah. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, like, I think that, you know, like you said, the political standpoints, all of that, no, that doesn't matter. But whenever you get into, like, the animal testing or things like that, those are the things that are more important, things that the consumer should be aware of.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's gotten so much harder for PR and advertising specialists, especially because you'll come up with this great original idea and someone will always find a way to dislike it or be offended by it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, like, going back to, like, the political and, like, companies, like, Starbucks is now known as a liberal company. And, like, they sell coffee. Like, that's, like, that has, like, really nothing to do with the political atmosphere. But, like, and you can have, like, a company that sells, like, who knows, like, hardware tools, and they have to put forth this image of, like, what we believe in. It's, like, to the point where, like, the politics, like, because of technology, everything is involved in everything. And that's where, like, we've kind of been tying up that your social life, businesses and how they perform, politics, every aspect of life that has moved to the internet is now culminating in just to, like, one, where it's not even, like, these separate identities, but everything culminates into, like, one identity, your business, your personal life, your political views, and, like, by choosing who and what you, like, interact with, like, you're making a statement about who you are, and that all happens online and with technology.
Yeah, so hopping back to Lauren's topic of romantic relationships, we kind of totally skipped over it, and we wanted to elaborate on it a little bit more. So closing our business side of everything, we're just going to put a little bow on that and skip back over to romantic relationships. Lauren, it's on you.
All righty. So last week in our Slack chat, we wanted to talk about romantic relationships and how being online has affected those. So one of the main things that we talked about was privacy on social media and things like that. A lot of people are really quick to post like PDA on their story, I know, on their stories and on their posts. And a lot of people maybe don't talk to their partners about what they want to post and what they don't want to post, and like how much is too much. Have you guys seen anything like that?
Oh yeah.
Yep. Like, isn't it like, you'll like, it'll be like a contention in the relationship, like, we're not Instagram official or something, or like someone will be like, I post tons of pictures on you.
Okay,
that's
true.
That happens. Definitely. Well, some people it'll be like a competition, like what someone you follow will post a picture with like their hot boyfriend and be like, I need to post my picture or she's not gonna know. Yeah. Another thing we talked about was one person in our chat said he got catfished. So we were talking about like meeting people online as opposed to in real life. Do you guys know anyone that's happened to, or anyone who's met someone online that worked?
Okay, I know somebody who did it, and it was a horrible story because everyone knew that she was getting catfished, but like she didn't know.
Oh no.
I mean, like, we were like, this dude is not real. Like, she was in like seventh grade and this dude was like 18, and like, I don't know, I was in junior high and he's like built and like a YouTube famous and all of these things, and like they met online and he's like from a different state, and we're like, dude, this is not real. But she believed wholeheartedly that she was not getting catfished. I don't know who she was talking to, but I mean, honest to God, that creeps me out so bad. You have to like form an opinion, and I don't know, just face-to-face interaction is so important to me.
Yeah.
I've never done the Tinder or
same.
Any of those.
The Tinder.
But that freaks me out, mm-hmm. too, because you don't know who you're talking
yeah,
to.
Yeah, right?
Like, if maybe I could see if it was all just, like, your mutual friends that you know for sure. They're real people. You know, that would be a little bit different if something like that got set up. But as far as just meeting strangers online and being like, yeah, you're hot, that's kind of weird for me.
Yeah, and some people just get way too into it. Like, they think they're going to meet their soulmate on Tinder or Bumble, and it's probably not going to happen.
I know a lot of people that think of Tinder as more of a joke than, like, a relationship thing. Like, they sit on there and, like, judge every person. I'm like, wow, that's rude. Or, like, I know girls who will sit there and start these conversations with these guys, and they just, like, talk in memes or, like, send gifts and things like that. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, is this fun for you?
What's the purpose?
Like, they're literally just sending gifts back and forth. Like, do you not have anything better to do with your time? I don't know.
I guess people don't. Well, it's kind of fun. Like, I don't have it either because I have a boyfriend. But a lot of my friends do, and they'll be like, here, do you want to swipe for me? And I'm like, okay.
Yes.
And it's like shopping.
But like,
for you know, like a human soul, this is fine.
Yeah, whatever. Just like your average people.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely changed. Just like the Tinder era and the online dating era has definitely changed the way we view relationships and the way we start them even.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so wrapping it up, we kind of wanted to talk about one last thing, and that is like the pros and cons of technology and the way that we communicate. And so all in all, is it actually harming us, or are we getting better?
Yeah, looking at like how this technology has affected the communication in like all these areas of life. And I don't know, even just like listening to this stuff, like I've read all the articles and everything too, but I think in the end, what the communication has done, like with technology, it opened up this whole new world, and we were able to go forth and connect and make friends, and it was great. But suddenly, the other dangers that people are just kind of like aware about, like we never really thought of them, but kind of like what you guys are talking about, like the catfishing, like the idea that you could put forth this fake reality. And so I feel like communication on like with technology, it comes down to like it's almost two different realities. There's this world that we live in, but then there's this whole other digital world that exists. And so many people like are coming back, and we're realizing, wow, if we put everything in on this digital world, we're just realizing how important that face-to-face communication is. And I, Courtney, you mentioned that, like how that is important to you. And I feel like that's a big thing. Like, this technology has opened up so many avenues, but it's also opened up so many dangers to lose what's really going on in life as well.
Definitely. And I think, well, for me, I feel like the pros and the cons kind of even themselves out, because technology has given us so much, like, for a personal standpoint and from a business standpoint. We have so many new tools we can use professionally and personally. But I think no matter what we do, no matter what we come up with, as genius as it is, there's always going to be a downside. There's always going to be a way that it harms and hurts people. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we're kind of on an even playing field. Like, bad things are going to continue to happen, but so are good things. And I think we have to just decide how much bad we're willing to take for the good.
Yeah. I feel like all in all, it's all about setting limits for yourself and understanding, like, one of our topics was how much is too much. So it's seriously just that, like, just knowing when to stop and what's the difference in between reality and media, social media, I guess. Yeah. So that is our podcast today, unless anyone has anything that they're burning to say. And thank you for listening,
Courtney,
to us.
Yeah, thank you.
Got you. All right. So we'll see you next time.